Well, I hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's. I did. You watch the New York parade. Parade, I guess, is tomorrow. But the Times Square ball fall last night. Did you see that? I was fast asleep. A week from now, we start our small groups, and we're going to be using this material called Experiencing God. This has been one of the most foundational books, materials that I have gone through, and I use this, the principles of this material I use every single day, and I have for years, and I hope and I want, I would wish that you would join a small group, sign up for them, and make that a part of the discipline that you're going to have for the next 8 weeks. There are a couple of thoughts that I had that I didn't get a chance to share during some of the earlier messages that I really feel I need to catch up on and get us started for this year. You remember 3 weeks ago, I was telling the story about this priest that was in the book of Luke in the first chapter. And Luke is very intent on making sure that a careful record of the birth and the life of Jesus is recorded. And he has all sorts of eyewitnesses, and he gets very specific in terms of dates and places and things that are going on. And in that first chapter, he talks about these two people. Zacchaeus was one of them, and then Mary being told by the angel that she would become pregnant without benefit of a man, and that he would become the Son of God. But there was something that I just ran out of time, and I could not mention it when I spoke before. I mentioned, you may recall, that Zacchaeus' name means God remembers. Right? God remembers. And what is so ironic about his name is that he is now an older man, along with Elizabeth, his wife, being an older couple, past the age of natural childbearing ages. And although the scriptures describe him as a righteous man, that he was a holy guy, he had done everything right, he was a good man, that he had this place in his heart that was empty, and that was that he didn't have a son. Now, you need to know that, you know, nowadays if someone doesn't have a son, has a daughter, that's fine. Or if they don't have a child at all, well, they can adopt, or perhaps not go with the child at all. There's no real stigma about that. But during this time, you have to understand that a priest could be excommunicated, that is, removed from the priesthood, if two things. If he were not married, and if he did not have a son, he would be he could be excommunicated. I have to believe that because of his character, because of the value that he brought to the priesthood, that no one challenged him in that regard. But inside his own heart, he is harboring this profound disappointment, this human cry. And so when the angel comes to him and says, I have good news, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a son, and he cannot help but flash with a response that says, prove it to me, show it to me, I don't believe you, angel. And as a result, the angel brings about a certain amount of discipline on Zacchaeus, where he can't, Zechariah, where he cannot speak for about 9 months. He's left mute. And what is fascinating about Zacchaeus is that after his child is born, if you look the rest of the, towards the end of the chapter, almost at the very end, he comes back onto the scene. There's an intervention with the angel coming to Mary, but it comes back to Zechariah. And in verse, in chapter 1, verse 72, Zechariah says this, that God performs mercy promised to his fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Zechariah believed that God had forgotten him. And Zechariah's name, meaning God remembers, is an illustration in his own life that even though he thought that God had forgotten him, in the end, he came to the place where he remembered that God remembered him. The same is also true for Mary. She finds out that she's pregnant. She goes to her boyfriend, Joseph, tells him. He freaks out because he knows he had nothing to do with this. The angel has to come to Joseph, the fiancé, and say, hey, what's happening with your girlfriend is from God. Don't worry. We know you were honorable in your relationship with her, but here's what's going to happen. And the angel said that he needed to take care of her. Well, there must have been something going on, because when Mary begins to show, she can't keep it a secret much longer, and she has to get out of town. And so she goes to this her cousin, who is Elizabeth, married to Zechariah. And they're cousins, and she takes off, leaves town, and for several months is with Elizabeth. When Mary is with Elizabeth, she has this conversation. She breaks out into a song, and in that song, in verse 54, she says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. So I want to ask the question. You and I are here today. We have finished a year. There were some highs and some lows of this year, weren't there? This congregation went through some highs and some lows. Last Sunday was a high. Not just because it was Christmas, but because we took in 11 new members also. But we had some lows. We had some traumas going back. And what this first chapter of Luke would tell us is God has not forgotten us. God has not put us on a shelf. God remembers, and God is going to be faithful to the work that you and I have coming up. One of the blessings that happened to me, this would have been almost 2 weeks ago, was that we found many of the minutes of this church going back to the years 1905. We found some in 1905. Most of them began in 1915. And there were people in the minute books where things are happening and there was drama going on. There were people that I've never heard of. Some of them are now street names. They were apparently important figures in the community. And I was reading their stories and what was happening back then, and I was thinking, I don't know these people. Some of you may know the names of some of these folks. But what they were doing back then, even though I don't remember who they were, God was faithful to keep their work alive and going for this for many decades after they were gone. And we are now the beneficiaries of their faithful work in the past. So I want to encourage you and me that as we're coming to communion, that we remember the statement on the front face of that altar. It says, in remembrance of me, doesn't it? Let me tell you about the word remember. It's a compound word. It has a base word of member and with a little prefix of re. Remember. Let's say that my arm, which is a member of my body, that somehow or another it became detached. Now, that would be a terrible experience, but what I would want to do is to have it remembered into my body. We're coming into communion, and it's a time for you and me to reconnect, remember ourselves to the body of Christ. We're going to be going to the center aisles. We're going to be coming down here. And I would ask you to do this, to identify that part inside of your life, like Zechariah, like Elizabeth, like Mary, who needed to be connected to the Lord, but who had felt this ache, this longing, this loss, this part that just never happened. And where we feel, you know, different responses of loss, of betrayal, or that God, put us on a shelf or something like that. I want you to identify that. And as you come forward today, I want you to say to yourself, God, I'm trusting, I'm believing that you will remember. Remember the promise, remember the longing, remember the ache that I've had. Now, for some of you, it could be the longing to have your children or grandchildren come back to the faith. For some of you, it could be a health issue. It could be a relationship. It could be a memory. It could be something about the future. It's individual for each of us, and I believe that you know what it is for you. But as we come today, I want you to remember yourself to Christ and believe and trust that God's favor is going to be on you, just like God's favor was on Mary as she was given that commission from the angel and said, your life is going to be different and history is going to be
bless us, that we would feel your presence, that you would help us to remember ourselves to you, that you would bless us and help us to be reconnected. That's not something that we can do of ourselves, but it's a work that you do in us. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give us grace today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship in preparation for communion as we sing on page 7, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.